part two. And just to review, I taught you on the subject. That will take place on earth shortly after the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this actual period will last about 7 years. It is when the judgment of God will be unleashed upon the earth. And so this time period will be very similar to the effects of Hurricane Katrina. All of us have been made aware of Hurricane Katrina and been made aware of how she has affected the state of Louisiana and the state of Michigan, and how there's been great loss of life, there's been great tragedy, there's been great misery, disease and pestilence and mayhem. And so the tribulation period will be very similar to that. Mississippi, what did I say? Michigan, my bad. And so, but those of us that have dedicated our lives to the Lord and have lived to Him will be with Jesus, reigning with Him while these events take place on earth. And so this evening, I want to deal with part two of what I started last week on part one. And I want to start in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1-8. Everybody have it? Amen. And verse 1 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and all tongues and all nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So I want to get into the teaching tonight and deal first of all on part two of this teaching, the rise of the Antichrist. Now, what or who is the Antichrist? If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The Antichrist, how many of y'all have heard of the Antichrist? All right, so the Antichrist is a real person that will rise in power solely to divert people's attention away from God by deception. And so that's who the Antichrist is. He's a real person. He will rise in power, and his sole purpose is to divert the people's attention away from God during this time period, because he's actually working with Satan. All right? Now, there are people already in the earth that are working with Satan and have power similar to those of the Antichrist. And I want to show you that tonight. Let's go to 1 John 4. We'll be turning a lot of Bible pages tonight. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1-3. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." The Bible says, "And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is it in the world." I want you to underline that. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And so the Bible teaches us, saints, that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. It's not the actual Antichrist, but it's the spirit of the Antichrist. There are some spirits out there that are similar to the actual spirit of the Antichrist. And these spirits, amen, will be similar to the one that will come into power during the Great Tribulation period. Now, let me give you some examples of what I would consider to be the spirit of the Antichrist. Number one, we talked about this a few weeks ago, is the Muslim community. A lot of the Muslims teach from a doctrine that talks about that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And so they put this doctrine out, they have their converts believe this, they teach this, and that's simply the spirit of the Antichrist. Another one is atheists. Now, atheists do not believe that there's a God at all. And they teach these things, and they have what they call no God movements, where they just don't believe that there's a God. They don't conduct themselves or govern themselves according to the scriptures or the things of God. And it is a spirit like that of the Antichrist, not the actual Antichrist, but similar to what the Antichrist will do in the last days. And the list goes on. New Age movements, psychics, etc. These are people on earth. They're on the earth now. They do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They confess this and promote this, which influences people not to believe. And so they have a lot of people that are following them now, that are following the spirit of the Antichrist, that do not believe in the things of God. Am I doing all right? And so according to verse number 5 back in Revelation 13, we find that the Antichrist will be in power for a period of 42 months. And during this 3.5 year time period, the Antichrist will be identified and it will rise to power as a political leader whose purpose is to make war with the saints and influence the nation with a false sense of peace. So let's look at verse number 7. And it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And all power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the life of the Lamb slain, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so this Antichrist will, the actual Antichrist will have what's called political power. He will be empowered similar to that of a king or of a president. Are you listening to me? And he will eventually take over the world. And it's kind of similar to the influence that Donald Trump has. It's similar to the influence that Oprah Winfrey has. It's similar to the President of the United States. And so eventually this spirit of the Antichrist, or the actual Antichrist, will take over the entire world. And the Bible says that all power will be given him, all kindreds, all tongues, and all nations will look to him. And what's going to happen is that he will have a spiritual leader that's working with him also. Now let's look at verse number 13. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by means of those miracles which had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did not live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so what will happen is, because of the turmoil of the world, and because that there is at this particular time no political voice, there's no governmental structure, this Antichrist will rise, and then another spiritual will rise with him, and their whole purpose is to bring in what's called, I want you to write this down in your notes, the New World Order. All right? Now, the New World Order will change the way that present-day business and governmental affairs are handled. Because what will happen is that inevitably the spirit or the Antichrist will take over the nation and begin to have, we'll have one currency, we'll have one governmental structure. And what is happening is this Antichrist is working with Satan to deceive the people that are on the earth, because the people that are on the earth at this time, they're looking for spiritual guidance. They're looking for an authority figure. They're looking for someone to look to. And they don't know that this is the workings of Satan and this is the workings of the devil. And it's all intended to deceive them. And so what will happen eventually, they will influence the nations, if you will, to make an image, kind of like in the days of old when they built calves and when they built golden images and things of that nature. They will make an image, kind of like on your dollar bill. We have In God We Trust. We have different presidents on there. And so it will be the same thing in that particular day. And what will happen is, in order to buy and sell, the Bible says in verse 16, to conduct business as usual, they're going to have to receive a mark on their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of for it is the number of man, and his number is 666, more formally spoken 666. And so we'll see that at this particular time, everybody that wants to function under the New World Order will have to receive what's known as the Mark of the Beast. Now, in all actuality, it will not be called the Mark of the Beast, because it is intended to deceive the people, and they don't know that they are actually hooking up with Satan. What it will come in the form of is the form of a microchip. Some of y'all, how many of you have heard now how in nations in United States and things of that nature, they're beginning to put microchips in people? They've already started putting them in animals. Your pet can get a microchip that contains all of his personal data, his address, his bloodline, his pedigree, all that good stuff. And they put that chip underneath the skin of the dog. And if your dog gets lost, all the veterinarian clinic has to do is scan that little chip. And then this information will come up on the computer screen and give them everything they need to know about the dog, where they live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, under this rulership, it will be the same way. However, it will be the mark of Satan. It will be the mark of the beast. Now, we also have governments that are trying to put microchips in people. And they want to put all of your personal data on this microchip, and they want to use it as a form of ID. If you go on the internet, you go on different places and things of that nature, you'll see this going on. And so in all actuality, a lot of this is happening now. And a lot of people have to be careful that we don't get caught up in that and end up taking that mark. Now, it will not, listen to me closely, it will not become a requirement until after Jesus Christ has come. But once Jesus Christ has been pulled off the earth, in order for you to do business and conduct business as usual, it'll be a requirement that you have this mark, and it's the mark of the beast. Am I doing all right? All right, now, let's look at Revelation chapter number 16. The rise of the Antichrist will lead to the final judgments of God, known as the seven bowls of wrath. All right? It is in this time period that the earth as we know it will be destroyed after the final battle between good and evil, known as Armageddon. And so as this Antichrist begins to take power on the earth, what's going to happen is it's going to trigger. This is a timeline of events. It's going to trigger the judgment of God beginning to fall on the earth, because inevitably this earth that we live on now is going to be destroyed anyway. How many of y'all heard of the people, you know, they do this big save the whales thing. A couple years ago, they were doing this big save the earth, recycle, and all that stuff is good, but this earth is going to be destroyed anyway. And so a lot of people are ignorant to the fact that this is all prophetic and this is time conscious concerning the great tribulation and the things to come. And so let's look at the seven bowls of wrath that will be poured out upon the earth, beginning in verse number 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And so the first vial of wrath will be poured upon those that have received the mark of the beast. God will begin to judge them. There will be a grievous boil, the Bible talks about, a soil that will be upon the men. It will become very grievous. It will be very sore. It will be very pussy-like, probably like a disease, a pestilence. And it's actually the wrath of God being poured out upon those that have the mark of the beast. Now, this is not in Scripture, but this is my own personal revelational insight. We have to understand when John wrote these things, he was not in the 21st century age. And so all he could write about is give some symbolism as to what he knew in that particular time frame. Now, I believe, and this is my own personal prophetic insight, that the government will begin to say things. The reason why these people are getting sick is because of a chemical in the microchip. The government always tries to cover up things that go on. And so to justify the sickness and to justify these things that are coming upon these people that have the mark of the beast or this chip in their hand, they will say that it was a flop in the way that it was put in, and this is what their sickness is coming from. The second angel, verse 3, poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. My God. The second vial of wrath will release God's judgment upon the sea. The sea represents the lifeline of the earth. Without the sea, the earth cannot survive because 71% of the earth's surface is made of water. And so inevitably, once the sea gets cut off, and we know that the sea are small oceans, if you will, but once that sea gets cut off and everything, every living thing, all of the microorganisms, all of the fish, all of the different things that are in the seas and in the oceans, once they die, it's slowly going to kill the earth because the earth's water supply has gone dead. And so from a scientific perspective, the earth will not survive long anyway, because everything in the sea has died. Verse number 4-7. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became as blood. And I heard the angels of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged this. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And so we see in verse number 4-7, the third vial of God's wrath will be released upon the rivers and the fountains, Niagara Falls, Old Faithful. Now, even though blood is considered a liquid form, which will give the earth a little bit of time before it's eventually destroyed, the beauty of these things will be destroyed. Because a lot of these things, not a lot of these things, but all of these things, God has created for us to enjoy. And we have taken a lot of this for granted and call them natural scientific wonders. We have not called these things or cited these things as the handiwork of God. Verse 8 and 9, And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And so the fourth vial of God's wrath will be released upon the sun. The rays of the sun, how we enjoy the sun, sunbathing and things of that nature, will begin to burn men. And the burning will be so intense that it will cause men to blaspheme God or speak against God, but they still would not repent. I think that we're beginning to see, church, the evilness of men's hearts in these scriptures, even as men are being tortured and tormented upon this time, men that are upon this earth, the Bible says that they, instead of repenting, instead of getting right with God, they blasphemed him. They cussed God out. Then the fifth angel, verse 10 and 11, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues in pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And so the fifth vial of the wrath of God will be released upon the Antichrist and his kingdom that he's established on earth that have deceived many. Remember, this is a 42-month time period while he's in power, and shortly towards the end of this period, the wrath of God will be poured out upon the Antichrist and his kingdom. And it is actually the preparation of war with the Antichrist and the forces of evil known as Armageddon. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Verse 14 through 15, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouths of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And so the sixth vial of God's wrath will be released to set the stage for the final battle between good and evil known as Armageddon. Now, the seventh vial of God's wrath will be released in verse 17 through 21. The Bible says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of wine for the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. And so we see the last vial that will be poured out will release an earthquake. The Bible says that this earthquake will be such an earthquake that the earth has not seen before. This earthquake will be so fierce and so strong that it'll split the nations of the worlds in three, and it will cause the very islands and the very mountains to be moved over their ways, out of their ways. And so islands like Hawaii and all these different ones will disappear, and mountains will be removed, Mount Everest and all these different things, and it's because of the wrath of God preparing for the world to be destroyed. Amen? All right. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. All right. After all of these events have taken place, these seven bowls of wrath have been poured out, and the battle of Armageddon has been concluded. Now, the battle of Armageddon is a battle between good and evil, which actually kills the Antichrist and the false prophet. After this has taken place, there are some things that will take place. I want you to write this down in your notes. There will be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. During this 1,000-year reign, three things will happen. So you have the battle of Armageddon, you have the wrath of God poured out upon the earth, you have all the bowls of wrath, you have the battle of Armageddon, which destroys the Antichrist, and then at that point, the majority of the world will be destroyed for what it's worth, and then we'll have a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, there are three key things that are going to happen. Let's look at verse 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon it, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So the first thing that will happen, if you're taking notes, is Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit. He will not be able to deceive anyone else. In other words, the reign, the evil reign of Satan, his satanic influence and power over people on the earth will be over. Now, the Bible teaches us, saints, that Satan is known as the prince of the power of the air. And spiritually, he has authority over the earth, the region of the earth, and the nations of the earth. Because of, originally he was in heaven with God, and he chose to try to outshine God, and God kicked him out of heaven and gave him reign over the earth realm. And so since this time, and this is, I'm going way back before Genesis 1 and 1, but prior to Genesis 1 and 1 and the creation of the world, once evil came onto the world by way of Adam deceiving, by way of Eve deceiving her husband Adam and taking of the fruit of the tree and eating and their eyes being opened, knowing good and evil, then Satan took authority over the earth realm. And so he has authority over this earth realm until this time happens. That's why in the scriptures, if you're understanding this revelational teaching, he's trying to do everything he can to regain his power. Because inevitably, Satan knows how he's going to end up. Now, there's one devil, several demons. There's one devil. The Bible talks about how Satan have come and have shifted some people. And then there's demonic forces. And those are demons, imps and wimps that the devil uses to carry out his handiwork. So after this is over, the powers of heaven will bind Satan and put him in a bottomless pit. It's like the abyss, if you will. Number two, the second thing, verse 4, and I saw thrones. And they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his forehead or in his hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So the second thing that will happen during this 1,000-year reign is the saints that were resurrected off the earth prior to the tribulation period will be given judgment. Remember, I talked about that in some of the rewards, how the saints will be given judgment. And they will be able, what they will do is they will judge the those that remained on the earth during the tribulation period. And so they will judge those that lived during the tribulation period, those that were beheaded, did not worship the beast or accept his mark. Remember, I taught you that during this time, you still will be able to be saved. And remember, I taught you that, I think it was on last week, that there was 144,000 that were preserved, that according to Revelation 7, I believe 7:3, one of those, 7:13, that they received the seal of God in their foreheads. And so they were protected, if you will, during this time, because they were the ones that were still spreading the gospel. And so we will judge those that were on the earth. Are you with me? And so that's the second thing that will happen. The saints that were resurrected off the earth will judge those that remained on the earth and went through the tribulation period. Third thing that will happen is found in verse 6. The Bible says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection," that's prior to the tribulation, "on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we will reign together as priests of God and Christ for 1,000 years. All right? Now, I want to go back and I want to highlight some things. First of all, I want to go back and deal with Satan. The Bible says in verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. Now, Satan will be released again, but he will not have the power that he had. And I'm going to show you that in the scripture. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 5. Y'all getting anything out of this tonight? All right. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse number 8 through 16. Pastor, what happens to those that do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Those that do not live a lifestyle according to the scriptures, those that do not die in Christ, those that die during the tribulation period without repenting before God, what happens to them? Let's look at verse number 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In my ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of a vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. That's a measurement. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, look at this, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they repent, regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend. Humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. So, Pastor, what happens to those that do not repent, died during the tribulation period without accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? They go to hell.
Amen.
Where is hell? According to verse number 8, the Bible says that hell is located in the midst of the earth. And so the scripture teaches us that he that ascended, descended, and then they talk about how they descend into hell. And so when a person goes to hell, they descend into the center of the earth, and they remain in hell, which is a holding tank. You can write that in your notes. Now listen to me closely. Although hell is full of people, the Bible teaches us that. The Bible also says you are alone by yourself in fire and in torment, day and night, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so when a person that dies, listen to me very closely, they have not confessed their sins, they have not lived their lifestyle according to the scripture, they immediately go to hell. They do not go to be with God. There's no such thing as a purgatory. There's no such thing as a second chance. There's no such thing as a hung jury. There's none of that. They go to hell. A lot of people do not believe that, but hell is a real place with real people.
Amen.
Now, let's look at Luke 16. And I'm going to prove what I just said. We talked about this briefly last week, but I want to prove what I just said. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, the Bible says the rich man also died and was buried. And the next verse says, and in where? Hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And so what happens, beloved, when a person dies that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they go to hell, which is actually a holding tank where you remain in torment and anguish until you stand before God and are judged. Now, I heard on the news during the hurricane, they called being in the Louisiana Superdome, they called that hell. But that's not hell. It's not even close to hell. Some people talk about how living through certain situations and going through certain things, it's hell. That's not even close to hell. So people try to say that that hell is a place of existence on earth. That's totally false. Amen. Hell is a real place where you go when you don't know God. And I want us to understand that, because as a pastor, I always have to make the correlation between righteousness and unrighteousness. I've been to funerals and I've preached at funerals and I've served at funerals where you can tell whether or not the person was saved by the look, by the way their body rests in that casket. I went to funerals of many teenagers that died in sin. And you could see from the way that body was laying in that casket, it was just not a peaceful look. They just looked, I don't care how much makeup they put on that person. I don't care how much they try to put a force a smile on that cadaver. It just, they don't have a look of peace. But when you see a saint that has died and gone on to be with the Lord, they just look like they're resting. Amen. They look like they're sleeping. They're just laying just so calm and cool in that casket. But a person that do not know the Lord, they go to hell. So I say oftentimes, you know, when you die, you got a choice of where you go. Both start with H-E. You decide which comes after that.
Amen.
Now, people that are in hell, there are already people that are there. Do y'all hear me? There are people that the Bible says hell enlarges itself daily. Every 3 minutes a person is dying. There's 65 billion people on this planet. Every 3 minutes somebody's dying. And Jesus made sure that everybody that dies, before they die, they get an opportunity to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the minute, I mean, I'm talking about the minute your spirit leaves the body is the same minute that you end up either with the Lord or in hell.
Amen.
And the Bible says to Lazarus, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, which seeth Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. Now, and so back to Revelation chapter number 20. And so, let's go back there, because we're going to break it down. All right. So according to verse number 5, the Bible says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. All right. Now, let's look at verse 7 through 9. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So remember, I said at the beginning of this chapter that at the beginning of the 1,000 years, they will bind Satan in a pit. And then the Bible says, but he must be loosed a little season. This is the season that he's talking about. And when they release him, what? And this is a, I hope y'all understand me here. This is a spiritual battle, because there won't be per se any people on the earth. And what is happening is that Satan will be attempting, it says, going to the cities of Gog and Magog to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. He will be gathering the demonic arsenal to try to assume power over the earth realm and over the things that he was giving authority again. But God's going to destroy him just like that. And that's where the Bible said, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and he devoured him. That's just how quick God's power can destroy the devil. And so this example is similar to God being able to deliver you from anything that has you bound. That's just how quick you could happen. You know, I talk to people that drink, and they say, you know, Pastor, I want to stop drinking. I want to stop doing that, you know. But in all actuality, it's not a desire, because the minute that you tell God that you're ready to get delivered from it, God's power is able to take that taste from your mouth. I remember I was becoming an alcoholic. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, God said, you know, you either got to choose me or you got to choose the alcohol. And so I chose God, but I still wanted to hang on to that alcohol. But when I gave it over to God, God took that taste from my mouth, and I just had no desire for it. Amen. So this is an example, beloved, of how quick God's power is able to overcome the devil. Amen. Now I'm going to conclude with the great white throne judgment. Let's look at verse 11 through 15. The great white throne judgment will consist of everyone standing before God that died in their sins without their name being written in the book of life. The Bible says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it. This is the only place where God actually judges. From it whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Look at this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what happens, church, is once you get saved, your name gets written in the Lamb's book of life. God has a book that has everybody's names in it, everybody's name in it, signed in the blood of Jesus, who've committed their lives to him. Amen. And the way God is going to judge the final white throne judgment, he's going to base it on two things. Number one, on whether or not he finds your name in the Lamb's book of life, which he's not, because if your name was there, you wouldn't be standing at the lamb. You wouldn't be standing at the white throne judgment. Second thing he's going to do is he's going to judge man and woman according to what they did in their bodies. So I want to conclude with letting you know, those of you that are listening and listening by audio, there's no escape. Men may think they're getting away with evil works and wickedness and whoremongering and homosexuality. Men like Saddam Hussein, who killed his men heartlessly before people in Iraq. Men like Osama bin Laden, who set off the terrorist attacks known as 9/11. Tupac Shakur, the guy that talked about, I wonder if heaven's got a ghetto. I know that's a little bit before some of y'all time, but he found out real quick that heaven doesn't have a ghetto. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Biggie Smalls, who was murdered in cold blood, who, in my opinion, these superstar entertainers and these big-time celebrities probably did not have a time to get right with God before they died, but live lives that were absent and reflective of the scripture. Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley. People that thought they could get away with their wicked ways and their evilness will all have to stand before God and have to be judged accordingly. Because the Bible says, church, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And so one day hell will empty itself, and all of those that were in it will find themselves standing before God, and judgment will begin. That's what the Bible says. And death and hell were cast, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. One day they'll be suffering, they'll be in the midst of a tormented flame, and the next moment they'll be standing before God at the white throne judgment. Once God judges them and finds that their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, God will cast them into the lake that burns with fire. This is known as the second death. You will be, eternally separated from God. We can't even fathom 10 years. We can't even fathom 7 years to get our credit straight. But can you fathom an eternity being away from God in a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone? This is the second death. I beseech you today, brethren, those of you who are listening, those of you that are hearing this by audio, I pray that you will not be there. Amen. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's still time. Doesn't matter what you've done. People talk about Charles Manson, and they talk about people that have AIDS and have infected other people, and they talk about people that have molested children and done all types of horrible and wicked acts. All that doesn't matter. Because the blood of Jesus is able to wash away every sin and stain. You may be a businessman that's done evil. You may be a whoremonger. You may be an alcoholic. You may be a fornicator or an unbeliever. If you don't get right with God, the Bible says that you shall have your part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Look at verse 8 in Revelation 21. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As we conclude this part of the series, let's make a commitment, church, to live right. Let's make a commitment to live according to this book. I know I'm few in number here today. Maybe somebody's listening to this will listen to this by audio and will be pricked in their heart to get saved. We got to stop playing church. Amen. And we got to start living right. We got to start living according to this book. Because this life, the Bible say, you're just passing through. This life we live here is just a vapor. That's all it is. You're here one day, you're gone the next. But in between your birth and your death is what God judges. And if your name is not found in the Lamb's book of life, you'll be eternally separated from God. Somebody say, well, I don't want to hear that, Pastor. I don't want to hear that fire and brimstone preaching. I'd rather have you hear it from me. I'd rather have you be upset with me than to not hear it at all and risk being eternally separated from God. Let's stand to our feet tonight as we just conclude this series with prayer again tonight.